Now, over the last couple of weeks, we have been exploring a metaphor. You know, Jesus, most of the time when he was teaching in parables, so stories and metaphors. So we've been exploring the metaphor of the Good Shepherd. And I'm also coming in today where the story that I'll be sharing, we started the first part of it last week. It's kind of a series. I did a 5-message storytelling series with the camp. This is sort of a condensed version of that. So we're going to be moving through some parts of the story pretty quickly, just to let you know. But with some of those metaphors, there's different ways we can approach them. Sometimes in church, we like to dissect them, sort of take all the little pieces apart, look at all the little Greek nuances, all that kind of stuff. And that can be a good way to get to know a metaphor, just like it can be a good way to get to know a frog, or at least the pieces of a frog. But sometimes with metaphors like this, especially something as rich as the metaphor of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, rather than dissect it, it's good to just play with it. Let the frog jump around a little bit and see what it does. So we're going to be doing a bit of an imagination journey through the metaphor of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I encourage you to follow along. And I would like to invite my dear friend, Mike Malman, who is fellow pastor and also the executive director of Serve Wenatchee Valley, one of the organizations we are proud to be partnering with, to read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and invite us to stand as we hear, if you're able, to hear as we hear God's word together. Thanks, Mike.
The word of the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons his sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is the command I receive from my Father."
Amen. Please have a seat. We've been following the story of Penny. She's a yearling lamb. And she couldn't stop thinking about what happened to her dear friend, Rambo. He was the perfect specimen of the perfect lamb. And they had been under the old shepherd together. And she remembered when they were in the paddock just across from the temple courtyard as the old shepherd had sold her friend Rambo off and the temple shepherds led him away. She remembered what it was like as 3 o'clock in the afternoon, roughly, and the evening prayers were being prayed, and she knew what was about to happen to her friend. She could, even from the paddock, she could see just enough into the temple courtyard to have some idea of what was happening. The prayer time started off as it typically would. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And then a psalm would be prayed. And then towards the end of the psalm, the priest would take the lamb behind the screen. And Penny knew full well what happened back there. She couldn't see it, but in her mind's eye, she sure could, as the priest would take a knife and slit the throat of the lamb. And as the lamb's life ebbed out, as the lamb stopped moving, the priest would say these words, "It is finished." Needless to say, this made Penny very skeptical of shepherds. So she was quite uncertain when she was sold to a new flock. A flock that they said was shepherded by the one they called the Good Shepherd. But she noticed some things that were different about him. He spoke more gently to her. He didn't talk to her like she was a commodity, though she knew full well that she was. He talked to her like she really mattered. Now, as we followed the story last week, that didn't mean that she trusted right away. She liked to stay in the back of the flock so that when the flock would move out onto the pasture, she would just stay huddled back where it was safe, back where nobody could see her. Until that day, several days in, when the Good Shepherd leaned over and said to her, "Hey, Penny, why don't you come to the front of the flock?" Two thoughts went through Penny's little fluffy brain at that moment. Number one was, "I don't know if I want to go to the front of the flock. That sounds very, very scary." And number two, "How does he know my name?" But she did. She went to the front of the flock, and the shepherd led the flock out of the paddock, out of the pen, up the hillside, and into the pasture. And there Penny saw the best thing she had ever seen in her life. Anybody remember? It was a field of clover. A field of clover. It was so tasty, so good. And so she started munching away. Munch, 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 munch. She was having the very best day ever. Munch, 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 munch. And every little patch of clover tasted better than the last one. She just kept eating and eating and eating and eating, and so good. And as it got to the end of the day, the shepherd called out with words that were starting to become familiar to her. "Come, sheep." Now, normally the flock would leave at this point, and many did, but Penny thought to herself, just 5 more minutes. Munch, 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 munch. Because she found another patch of clover. Munch, 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 munch. A few minutes later, the voice called out again, although this time it was a little more quiet. The voice called out,
"Come, sheep."
A little more quiet.
"Come, sheep.
Come on, help me out. Listen, if you're going to have to at least behave on a junior high level, things are not going to work out for us here." Called out in a voice a little more quietly.
"Come, sheep."
That's nice. But Penny thought to herself, just 5 more minutes. She found another patch. Munch, 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 munch. Oh, it's so good. A few minutes later, the voice called out one more time, this time very, very softly. Just 5 more minutes. So she kept munching away, and munching away, and not long after that, she looked up and realized that it was dark. And she was alone. And she didn't know how to get home. And so Penny, the yearling lamb, who in her fear, she called out just as a scared lamb would. A little more than that. Oh, she was very nervous. And shortly after that, she is silent and dark, and she heard from the darkness this sound. Penny was terrified. So she sat there shivering in the dark. Didn't know the way home. All she knew is out there somewhere, there was one or multiple wolves. And she felt very, very alone. When out of the darkness came a voice, a familiar voice. "Hey, Penny, let's go home." And the good shepherd scooped her up on his shoulders, carried her home. She felt so secure. She felt so safe. And she thought to herself, I will never ignore the voice of the shepherd again. And at the time, she really meant it. And it lasted, that resolve lasted, about 5 days. Because then, you know, over the next days, the shepherd would lead the flock back up the road, into the hillside, into the pasture, into the clover patch. And it's a good clover patch. It really is. You know, first day was amazing. Second day was okay. Third day was a little trampled on. Fourth day, it was leftover clover. And Penny, by day five, even though the shepherd was good, "Come sheep, they go to the clover patch," but it's the same leftover clover. Penny started to feel bored. It's like that with sheep. Sheep get bored quickly. You'd never understand. Sheep, they get bored. And so as she was there bored in the clover patch, leftover clover, complaining about the leftover clover, every day there's clover. I'd really like to have something other than clover. She heard a voice. And this voice was unfamiliar. It was low. It was a little gruff. And it said this: "There's grain over here." That got her attention. Her ears, little fluffy ears, they perked up. Grain. I've heard about grain. Never had any grain. Wonder what kind of grain it is. Wonder if it's chewy. Wonder how it tastes. Grain. She heard the voice again. "Hey, there's grain over here." Oh, that really was getting her attention. She started to wander in the direction of the voice. It was away from the rest of the flock, but she's used to being in the front of the flock now, so it's okay. She's out there and she's walking around. She's thinking about the grain. "Oh, I bet the shepherd would love for me to have some grain. Maybe the shepherd doesn't know about this grain. Maybe the shepherd wants me to go and get some of that grain. That sounds like a good idea. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Do you think that's a good idea? You think that's a good, are you sure? Are you sure, Myrna? You think that's good grain? I don't know, I'm hearing the voice. There's grain over here." She keeps walking further and further and further and further away from the flock until she's actually quite some distance from the flock and quite some distance from the shepherd. She turns around and she immediately sees where the voice is coming from. What do you think it is? Say that again.
No wolf.
Jim is right. The big bad wolf. Big gray wolf comes popping out, stands in between her and the flock, and he's growling, and she is terrified. And the wolf does what a wolf would do. The wolf comes in, attacks, and Penny could remember what it felt like as the wolf bit into her right front leg. She actually heard the bone crack. And she thought to herself, "This is not good." She called out as loudly as she could. She was terrified. The wolf would release the grip on her arm and then latched onto the back of her neck. She could feel the teeth in the back of her neck, knowing that the wolf was trying to work his way around to the front of her neck, and if he did, then it'd be lights out for Penny. So the wolf would release his grip for a moment. She would kick and jump and bah just as loudly as she possibly could. But the wolf just kept attacking and attacking and attacking, and eventually got around to the front of her throat, and she could feel the bite closer, and the world started to get smaller and blacker, and when all of a sudden she heard a familiar voice. This time the voice was loud. Get away from my sheep! Guess who it was? It was the shepherd. He comes flying in. He's got his staff. He's swinging it. Whacks the wolf in the back. The wolf lets go. Whacks the wolf in his front haunches. Gives the wolf a crack on the head. And the wolf runs off, scared. Sound effect. Thank you. Well done. I see you've survived a wolf attack. Nicely done. But the truth is, see, all of us have issues with wolves. We have different wolves, don't we? It's good to know what our wolf is. And it's good to know that our shepherd protects his sheep from the wolf. Sometimes even when we can't protect ourselves, because we don't always know if the grain sometimes looks awfully good, doesn't it? Well, as Penny started to come to, as Penny started to be able to see see things again more clearly, she again heard a familiar voice. Hey, Penny, let's go home. And the shepherd picked her up on his shoulders and carried her back home. Her leg was hurt so badly. She was in a lot of pain. And the shepherd took her wounded leg and wrapped it up. That's what shepherds do with our wounds, don't they? They tend to our wounds. They bind them up. All of us have wolves, sometimes different wolves, and all of us have wounds, don't we? And the most important thing we can do with our wolves is talk to our shepherd about our wolves. And the most important thing we can do with our wounds is take our wounds to the shepherd. About a week later, the shepherd was unbinding her leg, and Penny noticed something about it. Not only was it feeling better, it was fully restored. The funny leg that she was born with was fully capable. If you had been healed from some major, major ailment, what would you do? What would you do?
Praise God.
You would praise God. What else would you do?
Rejoice.
What do you think Penny did? Jumping around. That's what she was doing. She was lump, lump, jump, jumping around, having the time of her life. Everything was amazing. She was just thinking about how her life was so amazing, so good, so great. Since she'd met the Good Shepherd, she couldn't help but tell everybody about it. Did you see what the Good Shepherd did for me? Did you see this? Did you see my arm?
Great.
Really? Thank you. Thank you for noticing. All those things. And you know the sheep, unlike people, sheep, even sheep of the Good Shepherd, can be sometimes a little bit petty. And the same flock that earlier on in Penny's life would make fun of her for her funny leg and the fact that she couldn't walk so well, that she always walked with a little bit of a limp, those same sheep would now give her a new nickname. They called her Perfect Penny. And they were a little bit snooty about the way they said it. Because now Penny was, on many levels, at least physically speaking, she was practically perfect. She would be defined as a lamb without spot or blemish because her legs worked perfectly well. What a great thing, she thought to herself. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But as the word got around the flock, well, I don't know exactly how this happened because sheep don't talk, but a couple days later, the temple shepherds came by. And now Penny couldn't actually hear what they were saying, but she sort of caught the gist of the conversation because the temple shepherds were talking to her shepherd, the good shepherd. And they kept pointing to her. And at first she watched as her shepherd said, he was nodding his head no. He was nodding his head no. But then, after they just kept at it, eventually she saw the shepherd nod his head in agreement and shake their hand. This made Penny very nervous. She thought to herself, my shepherd wouldn't actually sell me off for sacrifice, would he? Would he? What do you think? Well, things got worse the next day. It was a Friday. And the shepherd led the flock down to the paddock that was just across from the temple courts. The good shepherd could see that Penny was shaking hard. She was really worried about what was going to happen next. And he leaned over, and Penny could see that he looked kind of nervous too. And he said to her, Penny, it's going to be okay. But she didn't really believe him. Because after that, he left. Hours went on and he hadn't come back. And it gets to be about 2:30 in the afternoon. And one of the temple shepherds comes by. He's obviously looking for her shepherd, but he's nowhere to be found. And he steps into the paddock and he puts a rope around her neck and starts to pull. She pulls as hard as she possibly can. She bleats as loud as she possibly can. But she was no match. He pulls her out of the paddock across the courtyard and into the entryway of the temple. It's just before the time in that day when the evening prayers would be said. And so people were starting to gather in the temple courtyards. And Penny was terrified. Though it was a smaller crowd this day because apparently there was something else happening that day as well on the hill just outside of town. That big one that looks a little bit like a skull. Apparently there were some people up there that was the place where the Romans killed the bad people. So some people had gone up to watch that. But still, people gathered in the temple courtyard. They gathered to pray. And Penny was pulled into the temple, pulled in by the screen, pulling as hard as she could against the rope. But the temple shepherd just held her tight and handed her off to the priest. The prayers started, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord. Your God, the Lord, is one. They started praying into the Psalms. And the psalm ended. And Penny knew what was about to happen next. The priest pulled her behind the curtain, behind the screen, just in front of the curtain to the Holy of Holies. She saw as the priest pulled out a knife. And then the strangest thing happened. The ground started to shake, and the sky grew dark. And just before the priest moved in with a knife she heard a voice, a familiar voice, a loud voice from the hill just outside of town. She heard these three words. It is finished. And at that very moment, the temple curtain tore in two, and everyone was so shaken by the commotion that the priest released his hand on her halter, and she shot out of that temple really, really fast. And she'd never be heading back there again. She ran around town until she found her way up to the top of the hill just outside of town. The hill that looked like a skull. And she saw there her shepherd. As they took his body down from the horrible, horrible thing that the Romans killed the bad people on. And she thought to herself, why would they kill such a good person? And then she thought to herself, that should have been me. Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 11, say it with me, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Truth is, all of us are sheep. And this is the place even where Jesus' metaphor of the good shepherd kind of falls apart a little bit. Because on some level, every other thing that he describes in that metaphor are things that shepherds actually do. But what shepherd dies for his sheep? Eyes up, let me see your eyes. Your shepherd dies for his sheep. Your shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for your sheep. And we, Lord, are your sheep. Amen. Penny was so incredibly sad the rest of the day into Saturday. Her whole world had fallen apart. How could she even face life knowing that she was responsible for the death of the greatest shepherd ever? The next morning, she found herself wandering around, and she saw some of the people that seemed to know her good shepherd. And so she spent some time with them because they were very, very sad too. And as she listened to them talk, and she was part of that gathering, out of nowhere, she heard a voice. It was a familiar voice. It was a kind voice. And it leaned over and it said to her, "Hey, Penny, it's good to see you." Amen.